Amen. Well, I've invited Chuck up to share God's word with us. For those of you that do not know Chuck, I used to go to his fellowship years ago, and his wife and him helped under shepherd me when I was young in the word, and they've been faithful to be there for God and to be there for each other, which is an important thing in marriage today. And I've asked him to come share God's word with us this morning. So please welcome Mr. Chuck Incarvidi. There he is. Okay, brother.
Bless you. Well, good morning and God bless you. It's good to see all your smiling faces here. There was a time when I didn't need glasses. Of course, I had hair too. What are you going to do? No, I never really had hair. Not when I was a kid, I did. I'm just kidding. If you take your Bibles and turn to James. Hebrews, James, chapter 1, and I was thinking about sharing the word today, and I was thinking about how I wanted to start to share the word, and I was going to play a song. I don't remember who the group was, but I think it was like the Four Tops or somebody like that, but it's Ball of Confusion. And it's like people, you could look that up. And the Temptations, okay, very good. So people moving up, people moving in. It's a ball of confusion. It's just a giant ball of confusion. And if you turn on the news for about 8 seconds, you don't even have to last that long. Just turn it on, bang, you got a ball of confusion. Guys beheading people, kidnapping people, bombs, blah, blah, blah. You know, you could go on for 10 years about all the nonsense that's going on. People today are searching for something to deliver them from the ball of confusion that we live in today. And believe it or not, you are the person that can do the delivering. You are the person that can walk out, that you are the person that can demonstrate the power of God and that can have those people delivered. And believe me when I tell you, it's a fact. And that's what a little bit what we're going to look at today. Part of the thing is you have to do God's word. And if you want to put a title on the teaching today, it would be Doers of God's Word, or I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. In James. So we're going to go to James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. How? Indeed. If you do God's word says you're going to be blessed indeed. If you want to see people delivered, the only way you're going to make it happen is by doing God's word. And the result of that is you're going to be blessed indeed. So, since I didn't do the ball of confusion, I decided to go with the chicken and the pig analogy. Now, if you know the chicken and the pig analogy, that's great. But for those of you who don't, I'm going to tell it anyway. Chicken and a pig are walking down the street, any street in the USA or anywhere else in the world. They look over and they see a homeless man. Chicken says to the pig, "Wow, dude, that's really a shame. Look at that homeless man." Pig says, "Yeah, it's a shame we can't do something for him." Chicken says, "You know what? I was thinking the same thing." So the pig says, "Really? Well, what do you got in mind?" Chicken says, "Well, I don't know. It's a tough call. How about breakfast?" Pig gets a little sweaty. He says, "Breakfast? What are we talking about here?" Chicken says, "How about bacon and eggs?" Pig says, "That's easy for you to say. All you got to do is get involved." I have to get committed. And that's the fact. We have to get committed to God's word, walk out on God's word, and do God's word in order for God's word to be powerful enough to see people get delivered. We all have inherent power. We all have the power to do God's word. And that's what we're going to look at today a little bit, excuse me, about doing God's word. Look at John chapter 14. If we want to see people to get delivered, we need to get committed. We need to get skin in the game. I don't know how many people ever know any sports analogies, but skin in the game means you're involved, you're committed. It's not going to happen unless you're going to do it. You have to have something to ante up, something that, like, you're pushing all in. You can't be afraid of pushing all in with God. God's going to back you up. And the manifestations this morning, the manifestations never fail to amaze me. It's almost enough to make you cry. It's like the manifestations are the teaching. So I don't know how many people manifested this morning. It was like, dude, I don't even need to talk today. It's like the greatest thing I've ever in my life. And that's God telling you that he loves you, that you're powerful, that you can do it. John 14. And let's see. In verse 12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Shall he do also? You will do the same works, can do the same works that Jesus Christ did. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You not only can do what Jesus Christ did, and we'll look at a little bit of what Jesus Christ did today, not a whole lot, but enough to cover the subject. Man, you just got to believe it. And you just got to do it. It's not going to get done. I must have said that 15 times already, but it's not going to get done unless you get to doing. And it's like walking. You just put one step in front of the other. That's all you got to do. And God will be there to back your steps up. Okay, verse 13. "And whosoever he shall ask in whose name? My name. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name," what's going to happen? I will do it. It's going to get done. God is backing up his word for you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what's happening. Okay, let's take a look at some of these examples. When we do action, God delivers. Take a look at Matthew chapter 14. I was listening to a teaching the other day, and it was a Dr. Werwolf teaching, and he says, "Is that what it says? That's what it means." And I thought, we need to take that literally. God's word says what it means and means what it says. All right, Matthew chapter 14. And this is one of my most favorite records in the word, because it shows how, even though you really want to do God's word, and you really try to do God's word, and you will succeed doing God's word, it doesn't mean that every now and then a blip or a hiccup's not going to happen. So we're going to Mark 14, verse 25.
Mark or Matthew?
Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew. Great, thanks. Appreciate it. Matthew 14, verse 25. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." I thought that was just outrageous anyway. Like, every now and then I like to think, what was Jesus Christ thinking? I don't know what he was thinking, but how cool was it? Like, did he just say, like, "Oh, there's the boys. I think I'll stroll out on the ocean and see what's up"? I don't know. Anyway, it's just so man, you know, so son of man, so human. That's why Jesus Christ is not God. Anyway, so where was I? 25, yeah. So he goes walking on the sea. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Yeah, don't be afraid. When you're talking to people, you can tell them not to be afraid. You can tell them, look, you don't have to worry about anything. I'm here, and we're going to take care of it. God is going to make it happen for you, and he will make it happen. And Peter answered him and said, my boy Pete, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the water. Yo, if it's really you, tell me to come out and join you, bud. I could hang out for a while. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on what? The water to go to Jesus. He did it. He stepped out on God's word. The literal God's word he stepped out on, and he walked on water. Not just Jesus, but Peter too. Next verse. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. So he walks out on the word. He gets a little anxious. The important thing is that he did it. Not so much that he began to sink. But then he regains his composure and focuses back on God, or Jesus Christ at that point, and says, bud, save me. And Jesus Christ said, sorry about that, brother. No. Jesus Christ said, love you, man. He reached down. If we're going to see people get delivered, we need to reach out our hands, take that person's hand, and pull them up to where we're at. The mighty word of God. Okay. So, the reason Peter fell into the water was because he had fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. There's two basic motivations in life, love and fear. Our motivation is love because we want to see people get delivered. We should want to see people have what we have, the peace of God in our lives. Now, Peter messed up a lot of times due to fear, but he kept on going and he got things done. And as always, God got the glory. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 2. Matthew, Mark. I got to tell you, I was so excited to share God's word today. I got up at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I sat at the kitchen table and taught myself this teaching. And my wife gets up at like 4. And she comes out and she goes, what are you doing, dude? I said, I'm so excited. I just have to teach myself. I don't know what to tell you. It's just so great. I'm so thankful for all of you today. And I hope that you take what God's word says and you put it on in your life and you walk out on it. Because really, you are modern day apostles. You are the sons of God with all power. You're the people who can really take the world and make it a better place. So that when Christ comes back, we can all go home and be done with this. Okay, Mark chapter 2, verse 3. Here we go. Okay. And they come unto him, that's Jesus Christ, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? What's wrong with you guys? What's the matter with you? Why are you doing this? where was I at there?
Nine?
Okay, yeah, thanks. Whether it is easier to say the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know, the Son of Man hath the power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately, when? Immediately, he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all. Insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Jesus Christ saw a need, and he met it. We can see needs each and every day of our lives. We can meet those needs by God's word. All we have to do is reach out. Take a look at Acts chapter 3. I was going to read the rest of that record, how it tells you, but you can read it sometime yourself, how the Pharisees and the Sadducees and everybody gets involved and they threaten Jesus and all, they want to kill him and all this nonsense. It's always that way, and you'll see it when we read it in Acts. It's always going to be that way. There's always going to be somebody all up in the mustard but can't catch up in life. That's the way it's going to be. They just are not going to make it happen. They don't want to see that power of God. They don't want to see people delivered. We do. So Acts chapter 3. 2-3. And if you read that record, you'll see where Jesus Christ basically torched those guys. He said, you know, what's wrong with you? Don't you want to see people delivered? Blah, 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 blah. You got to read it for yourself, but it's pretty powerful. Okay, Acts 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Kind of reminds me of the sick of palsy dude, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand. Isn't that interesting? And lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that this was he which sat at the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonders and amazement at which had happened unto him. And the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now, if you know what, we'll just read it, because this is like the parallel to what happened to Jesus Christ when he healed that guy. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One. You denied the Holy One, you religious rulers. Whoa, getting a little crazy there. And the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him the perfect soundness and the presence of you all. Excuse me. Now, that's a far cry from Peter, who, if you remember, chopped off a centurion's ear because he was afraid and denied Jesus Christ three times because he was afraid. What changed Peter? What gave Peter the ability or the boldness? Word up, brother. Let's go to it. Let's look at Acts. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what changed. If you're born again of God's Spirit, guess what? Same Holy Ghost. What separates you from Pete? A little boldness, man. The willingness to get committed, to jump into the fray, and do God's work. That's all it is. That's the only thing. Okay. Remember John 14:12? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Think they weren't believing that when they did that? You're darn right they were believing. God's word, I don't know how many, but there's over 900 promises in God's word. How many can you know? As many as you claim. As many as you know. You got to know them. You got to claim them. You got to walk out on them. This is one of the promises of God's word that you can do what Jesus Christ did. Take your Bibles and go to Mark chapter 6. Chapter 6, and let's go to verse 54. And when they were come out of the ship straightway, they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry out in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. This is Jesus Christ. He's like kind of walking around, hanging out. When they found out where he was going, they ran. They got sick people, they got possessed people, they got all these people. They brought them out into the streets. Excuse me. And ran that the whole region ran about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made what?
Whole.
That's right. As many people that touched Jesus Christ were made whole. Look at Acts. If Jesus Christ never walked around, those people wouldn't even have been able to touch the hem of his garment, or border, as it were. Acts chapter 5. And you can do a lot with this. There's believing. There's definite things that are going on that you can look at in your life when you're studying the word. But the fact of the matter is, you can study till your head falls off. If you don't do it, it doesn't get done. Acts chapter 5, please. Verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them. But people magnified them. The believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. That's another byproduct of getting people delivered. Many multitudes will come to the word of God. It can happen. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. Notice the similarity there? It's like just like the other one. And say exactly, that's it, similar, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing the sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirit, and they were healed, every one. Every one that was brought out was healed. It's just like Jesus Christ. The apostles did what Jesus Christ did. We can do what Jesus Christ did. It's just a matter of getting it done. Excuse me. They were dragging people out into the streets to get delivered. I just think that's like totally amazing. All right. So, it's right here. I have a little thing for you today. And it's been said that it takes 3 to 5 years for a person to be totally saturated in God's Word. I don't know about you, but I'd like to see that proven wrong. I'd like to see you walk and talk God's Word each and every day of your life. I would like to lay before you a challenge. I would like you to take upon yourself to read the book of Acts every single day for a month. If you can't do a month, do a week. But do it. See what they did, the apostles, and walk out on that word of God and see people get delivered. Because if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. So I'd like to pass out this little thing. It's called The Living Sermon. You may have it already. If you didn't, it's okay. And we'll read it together. Would you mind? So, what have we learned today? We've learned that we can do the works that Jesus Christ did. We've learned the greater works that he can do. We've also seen how people did it, how it got done. We also saw that people pushed themselves out, that they did whatever it took to get people delivered, and that we can do it too. So after we pass this out, we'll just do a little reading. We'll just read this little poem here, because I think it's pretty cool. If you actually go on this thing, it's actually longer than this. There's like some other things, but I thought this one was nice because it's like a little calligraphy. And yeah. So here's what it says. I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. I can soon learn how to do it if you'd let me see it done. I can watch your hand in action, but your tongue too fast may run. All the lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. Though I might not understand you and the fine advice you give, there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. Jesus Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Yo, how about us? We're sons of God. Wouldn't that be pretty cool to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? All we need to do is get involved. Let's get involved. I'd like to thank Nick and Kim and the family for allowing me the privilege to share God's word with you today. And I'd like to thank you for being a captive audience. And I truly, truly hope that you walk out on God's word and become the victorious people that God's called you to be. God bless you.